Good morning, everyone. Acts chapter 27. And we'll be reading from verse 39. Acts 27, reading from verse 39. When it was day, they did not recognize the land. They observed a bay to the beach, onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosened the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind to make for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the bow was struck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violent waves. And the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ships, and so that it was that they all escaped safely to land.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
I want to thank you once again this hour for giving me the privilege to stand before you this morning. I want to also give thanks to God for being great to us, being good to us, and for making today also a special day for us to be here today. I believe a lot of us seated here today have different choices to make, but we've all decided to come here to sit and worship God. And today being the second to the last Sunday of the month and of the year, I think it's something we need to be thankful of. From January down to December, we're still here. Some people tried, but they're not here today. They're not able to make it. And here we are. We should be full of thanksgiving. I want to thank Brother Kevin for that wonderful reading you've done this morning. The book of Acts chapter 27 and 28. This is the story of Paul going to Rome. And we all know what happened in the process. While they were on the way, Paul warned them that they should not take that roof. But what happened? They didn't listen. But they went that way. The thing that struck me, and I feel, if I was in that shoe, would I have done like Paul? Would I have been like Paul? You know what Paul did? Paul did not argue. He let it be. Every day of our life and every moment of our life, we all face challenges. And Brother Gary this morning did ask us and said, if you're here without any problem, raise up your hand. I want to ask the same question. If anyone is here that is not passing one thing or the other, please raise up your hand. Is anybody raising up their hand? If you do, you're lying, according to Bragari. So Bragari actually came to my house and steal some of my sermon, and it's not bad. You steal part of it, but I'm still going to use the remaining part that you left for me. So this is the situation that Paul was passing through. And I believe so many of us also are passing through one trouble or the other in our life. And the worst thing about it is we keep beating ourselves. Why me? Why me? Why me? will even have sleepless nights thinking, God, why is it me? Why? Have we forgotten when things were good for us? Have we all forgotten when things were moving smoothly? Do we even ask God, God, why are you blessing me? But when troubles and trial comes our way, that's when we ask that big question, why me? Today, I want to encourage us that we can turn negative situation to positive situation. So the title of my sermon this morning is Turning Negative Situation to Positive. At times, we all will have what could be called negative experience. Not even at times. I think every day of our life we experience it. One thing or the other will come or peek into your way and you feel, ooh. But how do we handle it? Do we let the negative define who we are? Or do we search for the opportunity to make positive? To make the situation turn positive. Like I said earlier, Paul is a good example of how to handle circumstances as these circumstances present themselves to us. What Paul would have done probably in that situation is this. If you're not going this way, probably I want to jump out because there is destruction in front of me. But Paul kept calm. Most of us today may not experience what Paul experienced at that time. But some of us are experiencing something in this present moment. The question is, how are we handling it? Trials, temptation, persecution, Bragari said them this morning, and it's in the Bible, it's not word of mouth, we all are going to face it. The temptations are coming, the trials are coming, and the problems are coming. Are we ready for it? Paul was shipwrecked off Malta in the book of Acts chapter 27 from verse 21 to 44. I'll read that page so that we all have an understanding of what actually happened to Paul. From Acts chapter 7 from verse 22 down to 44, read. And now I urge you to take up. For there is no one, no loss of life among you, but only the sheep. So Paul is telling them this time that they should keep calm because destruction is already coming, but they should keep calm, but that there is not going to be any loss of life. For there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, to whom I belonged and whom I served, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And this is Paul going to Caesar in what? In Rome. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. God has done what? God has granted you all those who sail with you. Do you know that if there is a situation or a problem in your community, or in the church, you might be the only reason why the church or your community will not be in disaster. You are here for a purpose and you are here for a reason. Whenever we encounter issues, how do we undo them? Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Verse 26. However, he must Northern Ireland. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took sounding again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rock, they dropped 4 anchors from the stairs and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchor from the port, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." It's a big word there. Unless these men stay in the ship, they cannot be saved. Do you know what happens? During the shipwreck in the air, they started throwing stuff out. But do you know what we do? During our shipwreck, we keep carrying more loads into our head rather than letting things off our life. We find a situation whereby we separate our relationship away from God and not being in the presence of God. But look at what Paul said in that verse. He says, unless they remain in that world, in that ship, they will not be what? They will not be saved. Unless you remain with God, your troubles are not going away. You will not be saved. Unless you let your problems, your troubles, and put them before the Lord, your troubles and worries will remain. And Baga Yusufi said, we should not pray that the problem should go away, but we should pray that God see us through the problem. Do you think God will see you through the problem if you keep carrying all your baggage along with yourself? We need to let something go. We need to let something out of our path and remain in relationship with God for things to work out well for us. Verse 32. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes and the sticks and let it fall off. And as day was about dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day. You have waited and continue without food and eating nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not the air will fall from your head of any of you." Can you see? Paul is now encouraging them. A time when there is crisis, even when you are not the cause of that crisis, you should be there or be ready to do what? To encourage the brethren. Or are we that kind of people whereby when there is crisis or when there is trouble in the congregation, we feel, I told them. And we walk away. Walking away from the presence of God or from this gathering will not solve the problem. But being with God and trying to turn that situation to positivity, that is what is most important. Paul could have allowed the negative to stop him from moving forward, but he never did. He keep what? Moving on. And let's look at it this way also. Sometimes the negative situation we find ourselves will cause pain. Note, sometimes the negative situation we find ourselves will cause pain. Sometimes you did not cause it. It's just meant to happen. Did Paul cause the ship to wreck? No, he didn't. Did the people that failed to listen to Paul make the ship to wreck? Yes, they did, because they disobeyed. Let's look at Job. Brother Danny mentioned it today also. From stealing from my sermon this morning. Job, in the situation he passed through, the question is this: did Job cause it? No, he didn't. But God did not even explain to him why he has gone through those problems. Your problem, your worries, your situation, your trials, your temptation will not be explained to you. Sometimes you might not even know why this is happening to you. Sometimes you will definitely know why this is happening to you. And sometimes you see that the situation that you're passing through has been caused by what you have done. Let's turn the Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is Paul encouraging. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20 to 30. It says, "For you put up with it. If one bring you into bondage, if one devour you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face, to our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seeds of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labor, more abundantly. In stripes, above measure. In prison, more frequently. In death, often. From the Jew, 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times, I was beaten with rods. 1 time, I was stoned. 3 times, I was shipwrecked. A night and a day, I have been in the day. In the journey often, in pairs of water, in pairs of robbers, in pairs of my own countrymen, in pairs of Gentiles, in pairs of in the city, in pairs in the wilderness, in pairs in the sea, in pairs among false brethren, in weary and toys, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirsting, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who made to stumble, and I do not burn into indignation? For I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmities." Did you see things that Paul passed through? But does that stop Paul from his ministry? Did that stop Paul from spreading the word of God? Or from him running his race? Philippians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15. Philippians chapter 3, from verse 11 to 15. Philippians chapter 3, from verse 11 to 15. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or I am ready perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that of which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward to the goal, to the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will really reveal even this to what? To you. Can you see it? Paul counts it what? All joy. All joy. How do we see our own situation? You see what Paul said? He says in verse 14, I think, yeah. I press forward the goal for the prize of the upward call of what? Of God. Let me take it from verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are what? Are behind. Those your problem, those your worry, just leave them the what? Behind and do what? And fall ahead for the things to come. Let's start turning our negativity to what? To positivity. I believe if we were with Job, or if Job was in this congregation seated here today, I believe we would do like those men did to Job when we read the book of Job. We'll be among those people that believe the negativity of what has happened to what, of to what has happened to Job. We would have thought that Job has sinned before God, but Job never sinned. We would have judged him. We would have accused him wrongly. But one thing I know for sure is this: it's only God that understands whatever situation you pass through. What did Paul do with the negative thing that arose? What did Paul do when the negativity arose? One of the things he did was he immediately tried to keep a positive attitude and offered what? Encouragement. And if we read that book of Acts chapter 27, we can see how Paul actually encouraged them. Acts chapter 27. From verse 34 to 36. It says, therefore I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from your head, from the head of any of you. And when he said these things, he took bread and did what? And gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken, he began to do what? To eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. What roles do we play when we see crisis? Are we the kind of people that make troubles or worries hype up? Are we the kind of person that encourage people in time of trouble? This is Paul. He's showing us an example of how we can turn negative things into what? Into positive. Paul did not let the situation cripple his ability to function. Paul still continued doing what? His work. And if you remember in chapter 28, when Paul was trying to gather wood, what happened? A snake actually bit him. But what did the people in the community say? I think this man is what? He's evil.
And this is what people will do to us. They will see your situation and say, you are what? Evil. But God understands. Everything happened in your life for a reason. Just keep on and keep your faith with God. Amen. And God will handle every situation in your life. That did not even stop there. Paul used the opportunity to heal the populace and also everybody in that community. Paul used that opportunity to do what? To heal them. If we read the book of Acts chapter 28, verse 8, from verse 1 down to 9, you will see what happened to Paul when he got to Malta. It is hard to even imagine that Paul would not take the opportunity to preach the gospel in the 3 months when he was in the island. But Paul was doing his best at all times and not letting the problems or the situation he's even going to face with Caesar bother him at all. He was not bothered with what he's going to face with Caesar. He was even still ready. Are we ready for any situation we encounter? Are we prepared? Because troubles, trials, and tribulation will visit you. Problems will visit you. How ready and how prepared are you? If you think, I can never have a problem, I can never have the kind of problem that Paul is having, I'm telling you, like Bob Bragari said today, if he comes to Brad George, he can't handle Brad George, he goes to what? Sister Margaret. If he cannot handle Sister Margaret, he goes to Esther. Sandra, just to keep what? Trying. But brethren, let's not be here to condemn Brother George. But let's be here to do what? To encourage, to exhort, to lift him up. Because your own time is coming. If you don't encourage one another at this point, who is going to encourage you? Who is going to encourage you? What can the church do to turn negative situation to positive? Let's look at what the Bible says. What can the church do to turn negative situation into positive? Let's turn our Bible to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 to 12. First Peter chapter 3, verse 9 to 12. It says, not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessings, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and to do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his eyes are upon the eyes of and the eye and the ears are open to hear their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. When we are mistreated, do we retaliate in kindness or do we retaliate back in evil? As a church, probably the community has also moved out from here. Are we going to start war with the community or are we just going to take it and say this is what God's plan is and use that for him to do his will? In time of disaster, we must use our disaster to reach out to what? To the community. In time of disaster at your workplace, you are representing the church now, you must use that opportunity to do what? To replace the church, to represent the church, to bring peace at your workplace. Or are you the kind of people that take disaster to the workplace? brothers and sisters. The church also needs to help the widows and the orphans so that they have better lives. Simply loving and doing good every day, it's a very important thing for all of us. There is three things I want Christians to remember all day. Three things I want us to remember. Not all storms come to destroy your life. Some comes to clear the path for you. Never be a prisoner of your past. It's just what? A lesson. Not a life sentence. It is what? A lesson. Not a life sentence. Forgive people. When you forgive, you become free. And when you let go, you will start to grow. You will start to grow. I want us to look at the pencil. You know how a pencil, you know when the kids are trying to draw, and we keep sharpening, I know children do that a lot, sharpening the pencil for the kids and all that. Imagine that is our life, that they keep sharpening us. How will you feel in your body? You will feel very hot, isn't it? Firstly, let's consider the pencil. For a pencil to be useful, it has to go through what? The sharpening. It has to go through what? The sharpening. For it to be useful. So the trials and temptation you are going through can be a lesson for the congregation tomorrow. So it has to be go through the sharpening time to time and again and again. If the person can feel, can you imagine how painful that would have been to the pencil? But that is what it takes for it to be a useful pencil. Imagine you buy a pencil and it's not sharpened. Will you be able to use it for anything? No, you won't. But the pencil has been hurt. Why are you resharpening it? For it to be what? For it to be useful. But it is through the opportunity. Sorry. Okay, life is just the same. Painful experience and challenges come to us all. But it is through the opportunity that we build character and grow. Secondly, let's keep in mind, they will be able to correct many of our mistakes we make along the way, just like the eraser. You know, when you try to use the pencil to draw, to write some things, you still have eraser at the top to do what? To clean it up. So we also are still going to be able to do what? To clean up some of our mistakes. So we learn from our mistakes. Note, they are not just mistakes. They are just lessons we can use to do better the next time around. Thirdly, everywhere you are used, so to speak, you leave what? You leave a mark. You leave a mark. Everywhere you are being used, you leave a mark. You are writing your own what? Your own story. You are writing your own story whenever you've been what? Whenever you've been used. While you are here, while you are present here on earth, you are writing your own story. You've been amended, you've been resharpened, you've been used, you've written a lot of stuff. But the question is, what will they remember you for? What kind of pencil are you? It's very important. And lastly, I want us to always remember, the most important of all, share and show love. Share that pencil and show love. Brethren, to finalize, let's read the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Remember this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Remember this, please. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be what? Cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under the what? Under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify God in heaven. Brothers and sisters, never let people's opinion about you matters in your life. But what does God think about you is what matters most. Amen. Think about it. We will always encounter negative situations. Negativity should not come to define who we are. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Amen.